I am Gary Colley. 1 John 5, beginning of verse 14. This is the confidence which we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. For if we know that He heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now these, of course, are stirring words and words that indicate to us there is a sin that is unto death which men cannot be forgiven of. But it also suggests to us that there are sins that can be forgiven and that we should pray for those who are in that condition. Of course, we must teach these people the will of God, and they must respond in obedience to His will, because He also says here, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity. This is 1 John 1, verse 9. Back in the 7th verse of the 1st chapter, He said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Meaning here that it keeps on cleansing, that it continues to cleanse. So when we are baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, we are washed of our sins free. Acts 22:16 says, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. We become children of God, Revelation 1:5. Of course, because His blood is applied to our sins. But His blood doesn't stop cleansing or washing us when we're baptized. For Christians, it keeps on cleansing from sin as long as we walk in the light, as He is in the light. As long as we're committed to following His teaching and repenting of our sins and obeying His word. So as we continue our thoughts today, will God forgive me? We realize there are those who are in great sin, and that they really wonder if God will forgive such heinous crimes as they have committed against His will. Let me tell you, my friends, there is no sin that will not be forgiven if a man is willing to repent, if a man is willing to obey the Lord in harmony with His will. It must follow, though, as we study these things, that we can count on God. We have confidence here, He said. We have certainty in our faith. And it must follow that the sin unto death of 1 John 5:16, the only sin that is unforgivable, if there be any, which a person will, for that, receive the penalty of sin. He says that the confession that a man makes, if it's mentioned here, is not of a priest, nor is it of any other one to whom we confess our sin except God, or before any congregation of people, actually, but simply an admission of guilt and an asking of forgiveness. Now, if sin is public, then of course the confession must be as public as the sin is, or else it is not accepted in the sight of God. So when faced with the possibility of sin in our lives, some people ask, why there's so much of such a thing as sin? Who can say what's right and what's wrong, some people say. And some people ask, what is sin? I haven't, they say, done anything that I think is wrong. You're talking to me, aren't you? Others say, sin? Sure, I've sinned, and I'll do it again, given the opportunity and the same set of circumstances. Still others reply, yes, I've sinned, and I'm ashamed, and I'm afraid God will never forgive me. Others are heard to say, yes, I'm guilty. I guess I'm just no good. I guess I'm doomed. But you know, my friends, there are others who say, yes, God, I've sinned. I am so very sorry. I am so ashamed. I know that I'm not worthy, but in the name of my Savior, I'm asking forgiveness from Thee, and that I may overcome this evil in my life. Now, this, my friends, is what Christians must pray. It's these people who are certain to be forgiven. But it seems like I'm hearing someone saying, oh, but you just don't know what I have done. My friend, if I understand God's message, and I believe I do on these things, it's not whatever in nature your sin is. If you'll face up to it and stop it and seek God's pardon, He will forgive you. And if that isn't it, I'm at a loss to understand what God is trying to say to us through the Apostle John. Another case study. You remember one King David in the Old Testament? David had enjoyed a beautiful relationship with God. He knew what it was to walk with God and to enjoy His favor. And God had been good to him when he was but a shepherd boy. He had blessed him with the victory over Goliath the giant. He protected him once and again when Saul hunted him down like a beast. And he had handpicked him to be the king, because King David's close walk with God was pleasing in the sight of God. And the nation of Israel grew because of his close walk with God into a mighty power. And then one day an ugly thing happened. You can read the details of it if you so desire in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12. David had sent his armies into battle, but he didn't go. He stayed at home. And one evening, while he was on his rooftop, he saw a beautiful woman bathing, and he was tempted. And he inquired, as you'll recall, about her, and learned that her name was Bathsheba, and that she was the wife of one of his valiant soldiers. He sent for her. He committed fornication with her. And when it was learned that she was expectant of child, he devised a cover-up, which involved, of course, ultimately, the murder of her husband. You may be wondering, did David know that such things as adultery and murder were grievous sins before God? Certainly he did. Then weren't these deliberate and willful sins? Oh, I suppose they were, my friends. And that the compounded of the enormity of the sin is very much shown in this. Well, if you're wondering whether David agonized with his guilt, as with you doing yours, and the answer is yes. He describes that agony of his soul in the 32nd Psalm. He says, "When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through the groanings all day long." Well, if you're suffering as he was, you might read his prayer in the 51st chapter of Psalms. Read it over and over again and make it a part of your prayers. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out thou mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take me not from thy Holy Spirit, take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Did God forgive him? Oh, yes, he did. In the 66th Psalm, David said, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth. He was exalted with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." So, I am looking at this today with you and asking with you, will God forgive me of my sin? What am I saying? Well, I'm saying this. If you humbly and penitently, as a Christian, admit your sin and seek God's forgiveness, He will forgive any sin you've committed because of the blood of His Son, His only begotten Son, which was shed on the cross of Calvary. If you have sinned and you have never obeyed the gospel, then, of course, you're not a Christian and do not have the privilege of prayer. But if you would obey the gospel, every sin can be washed away. But you say, "My sin is so grievous." That's true. It may be. Could it be more grievous than murdering the Son of God? On Pentecost, that was the type of people that Peter talked to when he said, when they cried out, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." And with many other words did exhort and testify unto them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked and untoward generation." And they that gladly received his word, verse 41 says, were baptized. And the Lord added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. Well, is it true that God will forgive? I believe we've learned it is. And we must believe that because we take God at his word. You know, if you keep on thinking you're unforgiven and unforgivable. You're doubting God's plain and precious promises, and you become a spiritual invalid. To carry that unnecessary load of guilt can also become a great hindrance, psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually. And life will become unbearable for you, just as it did for Judas. I'm hopeful that you will not act in the way Judas did. You know, upon his sin and his not desiring, or at least not doing, the repentance that he should have done, he went out and hung himself. God never intended for us to live with the guilt of sin upon us, or he wouldn't have sent his son. In John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And that son, of course, said in the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. There are two things that I must say in summary of these thoughts. First, the message of 1 John 5:16 is to the child of God. He is the one who has the privilege of prayer and of repentance unto forgiveness. But the principle of forgiveness of any and all sin by the blood of Christ is the same to the person who isn't a Christian, except that he must be born of water and of the Spirit, John 3:5. He must believe, and he must repent, and he must confess it with his mouth, Jesus is Lord, and be baptized, at which time he is forgiven and he becomes a child of God. And if you haven't done so, my friends, it is our prayer that you will do so at once. The second thing I must mention, even in closing, is that we have not addressed the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit mentioned in Matthew 12. That'll be another message. But we want you to know God will forgive you.